This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 27th, 2015, the Feast of the Holy Family, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means do everything in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, in everything in accord with his precepts and his revealed will. We are on the feast day of the Holy Family, and as you approach that feast day, I mean, you can get theological about it, but actually the second reading gets much more practical about what we should understand about Catholic families. And unfortunately, over the past couple years, the waters have been muddied yet again as to the whole concept of the family. But guess what? We don't have to reinvent the wheel, nor do we have to figure out what came out of synods to it. All we need to do is to appeal to God and our faith. St. John Paul II says, and I quote, "Loving the family means being able to appreciate its values and capabilities, fostering them always." We need to appreciate the values and capabilities of the family, fostering them always. Our families are nothing less than little churches. That is where the church starts. That's where the church gains strength. We come to Mass and we avail ourselves of the sacraments. We avail ourselves of the sacrament of confession whenever we need to. But if you for one moment think you're here for an hour-ish, depending on what Mass you attend. How often do you go to confession? That's rhetorical, okay? How many other hours of the day and days in the week are there? So if the church needs to be strong, if it's going to be strong, it's got to be founded somewhere other than in these four walls. It's got to start in the walls of your homes as Catholic parents and children. We have to appreciate the values and capabilities of the family. As I said before, it just dumbfounds me. Some of the stuff that I read over the past 2 years that comes out as a... Hey, you're wearing a red hat in the Church of Jesus Christ. Did you ever bother to open up that book and read what it says? How could you say what you say if you've ever read that? Because what you say contradicts what God says. You know, it is truly simple. Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. Male and female, God created them, he blessed them, and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. There are a lot of you guys out there that are a lot smarter than me, but guess what? That's pretty direct, you know? Again, just me. Male and female, God created them, and he blessed them. That is how families start. This is the creation story. He creates all this good stuff, light, darkness, animals, water, land, all this stuff. And then he wants families established. And he says, this is how they start. Male and female. Nuff said. Well, in our day and age, so what? It's not a family. But nothing. It's not a family. Bottom line. Chapter 2 of Genesis. Therefore a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. and they become one flesh, sort of driving the point home. Again, very explicitly, very succinctly. I don't see one but in there. I don't see, but in the future, you're going to understand that this means a whole, it's not there. No need to reinvent the wheel, as I said. Then we come to the commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. We're talking about foundation of parents. Now we're getting into their descendants thing. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. That is the first commandment that there's a promise attached to it. First commandment where there's a promise. Every other one, and they deal with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Keep the Sabbath, you know, all that good stuff. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Don't promise you anything for that. Promises you something if you honor your father and mother. And a little footnote on that, that's not for little children, okay? I don't know how many times I have stood around adults that look at a 3 or a 4-year-old. The commandment says you honor your father and mother. Moms and dads, check this one out. If they're 4 or 5 years old, you make them honor you. All right? That's your job. If you don't do it, you are tremendously remiss in your responsibilities. You make little children honor you. That is not for little children. That's for adults. It says how we should always treat our parents. I like that word honor, too. Oh, it would sound so much more pleasant and emotional if we said, love your father and mother. Or respect your father and mother. You know why it doesn't say that? Because God knows what he's doing. And if it said, love your father, love does not necessitate respect or reverence. There are people in my own life that I love very dearly. I do not respect the way they live their life, and hence I cannot revere them. So I love them with all my heart, but I don't respect or revere them. And it doesn't say respect because you can respect people and not necessarily love them. I'm a history buff. I used to be a cop. I respect a lot of people for a lot of things that they've done or can do in this world. I don't love them. As a matter of fact, I respect them for what they do, and it negates me loving them. I just respect what they did. All right? So it doesn't necessitate love. When it says honor your father and mother, if honor is heartfelt, it will necessarily involve love and respect and reverence. You can't help it. That's why the Holy Spirit says, honor your father and mother. And then we have that reading from Colossians, the second reading for today. The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul, he gives us rules for Catholic households. And you know what? There's not this long list and page of a how-to manual. Very succinct. It says how parents are supposed to relate to one another. Then it says how children are supposed to relate to their parents. And then there's an additional thing for you dads. We'll get into that. Again, unfortunately in our day and age, so many people care so much about offending people. Or these people, they don't really... The first thing that it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What? What? We live in the 21st century. I'm not subject to any... If our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God Almighty himself, can be subject to an earthly man and a woman, what height of arrogance is it for anybody in this world to say, I won't be subject? And from a practical standpoint, there is nobody ever in this society anyway that ever holds a gun to the back of a woman's head and says she needs to engage in a Catholic marriage. All right? Nobody is forced anymore to do that here anyway. All right? You do it voluntarily. You know, I do marriage. I love when I start the marriage counseling stuff. Well, I don't have to say that obey stuff to you. No, you don't have to, but then I don't have to do your wedding either. You find a lot of Catholic priests who will, because there's a liturgy that's, we don't use that word. We'll use that if I'm going to do it. They have the right to get married in the church. That's right. And I have the right as a priest to do weddings that I want to do. All right? That's all there is to it. You know, and you always get, you get the laughs like that when you're at the wedding and people are visiting and you honor, obey. You gotta obey them. That's part of this whole thing. Why? Because God says it. Be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, what about in Ephesians, another place where Paul talks about this, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So you guys got that mortality thing tacked onto yours. It doesn't say anything about wives giving your lives for your husbands. But it does say husbands give your... So who's getting the short end of the stick on that one? All right? Let's not get all bent out of shape about that and just do what God says. And things will work out perfectly. It says, children, obey your parents in everything. Children, obey your parents in everything. That is what the Lord wants. It says, actually, it pleases the Lord when you do that. Which would mean on the other side of the coin, if you didn't obey your parents in everything, that would displease the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Kind of flesh that out a little bit. There are parameters for Catholic households. It goes there from parents to children, but I want to, let's present this children to parents. You know why? Because everybody starts out as a child. You know, and this is where it gets practical, because I don't want to expound too much on the hows and all that. So, hey, just do what it says. How children are supposed to relate to parents. And again, that doesn't stop with, well, I'm 18 now. I'm out of the house now. Children, obey your parents, respect them, honor your father and mother. Why? It's not wrong to ask why. All right? Sometimes you get answers, sometimes you don't. You get answers to this one. Why? Why should children honor their parents? Foundationally, because they are the picture of your origin. They are from where you came. All right? That's all there is to it. God in His providence used them to bring you into this world. You received existence through them. God made use of them biologically to infuse a soul into your life. Little footnote on that. You do not get your soul from your parents. All right? Or half dad's soul and half mom's soul. All right? That's not Catholic teaching. God gives you your soul as an individual. But He uses in His providence your parents to start the whole thing. And then He infuses a soul. A lot of people look at this and say, well, my origins weren't good. You don't know my parents. Or I had a foster family. I lived in foster homes. Or I lived in an orphanage. Well, guess what? All that bad stuff was going on because someone didn't adhere to what this said. That's how the bad stuff happens. But even if it's bad, those people that were placed in authority over you when you were a child, they are still examples of these things. And you know what you do? If you didn't have a good origin, if the foundation wasn't what it should have been, you know what? Use that to fix it. Use that to make it better. So even the negative can be something positive. Catholics are the only people that can make something positive out of everything, including death, as I always say. Okay? Our parents are human. They are frail, beset by living in a fallen world. That's neither here nor there. But there are some very positive things. In many cases, your parents led you to the sacraments. In many cases, as soon as you could get them in here after they were born, baptism. And nurtured them along until they were confirmed and started to make decisions of their own. You should be on your face before Almighty God that your parents led you to the sacraments. Tremendous thing. And most parents do. I wasn't raised in a Catholic home. If there was a cross in your house, a tabletop Bible, something that just was there, that is a leading factor. And most people have something like that going on. Christmas. Here we are in the octave of Christmas. Every pagan in the world was off of work and exchanging presents. That's a leading into things of the faith, maybe, eventually. But your parents do things like that for you, and you should be thankful for it, and you should honor them for it. And it does not stop when you leave the house. As a matter of fact, as life progresses, it's more important, because that's when the commandment comes into the fore, and when we honor our parents as they grow older. Especially if they weren't what they should have been. They weren't the pinnacle of the faith. They couldn't provide what you wanted to. They are still your parents, and your honor for them as they grow older, particularly if they weren't what they should have been, shows that you're doing what God says. When they die, well, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Both my parents are gone. Offer masses for them. Have masses celebrated for their intentions. Pray for them and their souls in your rosaries and in your private devotions. Do them favors on the other side. That's what this is about, honoring your father and mother. Because you know what? If you do that, as your parents grow older, your kids, and they may be adults, they're seeing the respect, and it is an example for them. So this is kind of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your thing. You do the right thing by your parents, and they will do the right thing by you because they've seen an example, a Catholic example. That's the duties of children to parents. Duties of parents to children, first and foremost, and I mean this in this order, a knowledge and practice of the true religion. That means the Catholic faith. You as Catholic parents, we live in a time in history where, I've harped on it a couple times in the past, where we need to individually know our faith. You as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you need to teach your children the Catholic faith. They need to be bold in their presentation of the Catholic faith, because there are a whole lot of adults in our day and age who aren't bold for the presentation of the Catholic faith. It would be great to see sliced bread if there was a little kid 5 or 6 years old who was leaving to go to Mass, and maybe their neighbors are getting ready to go to a service somewhere, who would look at them and go, "Where are you going?" "Oh, we're going to church." "Where do you go to church?" "Well, first this of that," or, you know, whatever long name that they like to tack onto their rivers of life, flowing waters, community church. That's not a church. That's not Catholic. I'd love to see a little kid say that. That would be great. That's what we should strive for. They should be proud that they are Catholics. You know, and it doesn't, you know, they shouldn't live in a little, well, they should live in a little shrine. But, I mean, you do have to also present them with regulation and rules for temporal life. You need to get them ready to say, you can shield your children too much from the world to where bad things can happen once they're exposed. You need to kind of inoculate them toward that thing. But you need, if you do the first thing, teaching them the true faith and the practice of good religion, then they are going to consequently live their lives accordingly. Because you are their examples. Parents are, I don't have any kids. If you are in authority over everyone, and by virtue of just being a Catholic, guess what? You've been given a great commission to shine Christ's light in this world, to be salt and light. You are an example to somebody, somewhere, just by virtue that you show up here. And they know you're a Catholic. You wear a crucifix, whatever. But I mean, even more so for parents of biological children or adopted children, you are their examples of justice, chastity, modesty, holiness. You are their examples for that. And it doesn't stop. Well, I don't really have to worry about that because they're out of the house now. I hope to God, just because your kids leave doesn't mean your faith stagnates. It'd be great for some adult children, bringing your grandchildren into the house. Maybe they haven't been there for a couple years because they live out of state, and they walk in and there's a holy water font that had never been there before at the front door. They go, "What is this, a church now?" Yes. It shows that you are still progressing in faith. You are still an example. And you don't stop correcting. You got kids that aren't living in conformity with the church. Don't beat them over the head with stuff. Don't shut everybody down. But you do need to point it out. That's our job. There's got to be a balance. That last thing that I said I was going to get into a little bit, and this is for you dads. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Dads, you do have a role. You are the head of the household. That means you are the heavy. That old cliche, wait till your dad gets home. Now, I know a lot of moms that can take care of business themselves. They don't need to wait till dad gets home. But that is dad's job, to be the heavy. Because you need mom to be there when dad gets done with people on occasion. Dads, that's your job. But you have to do it in balance. You cannot be over severe. If you are too severe with your children, it can result in bad things. They can grow up and be abject. We don't use that term a whole lot, but it means self-abasing, down on themselves, no self-respect. They can be fearful of everything. You know, I can't do anything right. That kind of stuff. You don't want that. I mean, you could beat anything, literally and figuratively, into submission. You don't want that. You want people to do things because it's a right thing to do. Now, there are times, spare the rod, spoil the child. But again, balance. You don't want to be too severe. Nor do you over want to, all the kids are going, yeah, don't be too severe. Don't overindulge them either. Don't overindulge them. You will turn them into spoiled brats. Good Bible story in the Old Testament about somebody who raised two spoiled brats. And he was a priest. Haley was his name. And he had two sons, and they were priests too. This is the depths to where overindulgence can go. His two sons who were priests used to take advantage of women who brought gifts to the temple. That's getting real bottom of the barrel. They used to steal things that were given to the temple for the glory of God. You know, how low does it get? God told Haley through the prophets, you need to get a grip on your sons. Oh, you know, boys will be boys. Okay. Well, there's a battle between the Philistines again, and both of his sons are killed. And the Ark of the Covenant that they were attending got taken by the enemy. Well, they come back and they tell Haley that this has happened. What's kind of weird about it, when they tell him his two sons are killed, there's not really an overreaction. But when they say that the Ark of Covenant, and he was taken because of those actions of his sons and him, it was taken, and in the older version, I love the older versions, they're much more up in your face, it said he was old and fat. In the newer versions, they color it up and say he was heavy, he was weighty, he was old and fat. And we heard the Ark got taken, he fell out of his chair and broke his neck and died. That's what happens when you're overindulgent with your kids. You don't want to be overindulgent. It ends up in this. We as parents, and it doesn't mean biological, but in most cases, you want a desire to leave your kids something, right? Every parent wants to leave their children something. Unfortunately, in our day and age, what does that, when we hear inheritance, what is that? What pops in the mind immediately? Money, stuff, the estate. What did mom and dad leave you? All right. Okay, if that happens, that's all well and good. Thank God you had stuff to give. That's great. First and foremost, though, you need to turn over the fortune of purity and religion to your children, because the bottom line on this whole thing is to get kids into heaven. That's what God wants from us. Yeah, you hear so many things in our day and age. God wants me to be happy. God made the only thing that God wants is for you to get to heaven. And you do that by conforming to his will. All right? That's what we want for our kids. We want them to go to heaven. I know a man who lost a child. He's an adult, young adult child. He's got six other kids. And he was leaving his son's funeral. And one of his aunts said, I can't believe this so hard. He goes, why? He goes, I got one into heaven. I got six others that I need to worry about now. That's the mentality that we should have. That is being pious. Again, I love the older stuff because it's direct. It's not muddled. It's not ambiguous. And speaking of leaving kids an inheritance, the Roman Catechism says this, and it's about parents who leave stuff to their kids instead of purity and religion. I quote the Roman Catechism that is as authoritative today as it was when it was written. Instead of bequeathing wealth to their children, they leave them rather their own wickedness and crimes for an inheritance. And instead of conducting them to heaven, lead them to the eternal torments of hell. Wow. That's how your church used to be. It used to tell you things directly like that. But as I just said, it is as true today as it was when it was written. That is that important. It is that grave an issue. We want to leave our kids things because we want the words of Scripture to apply to us. And they apply to us, not when we get to heaven, but right here and right now. And what it says at the end of that second reading today, the Holy Spirit says to St. Paul, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you live in your family the way we just discussed, if you live that way and you do it in love, not just because, it binds everything together in perfect harmony, both in this life and in the next. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.